And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Was that Jim Mora or was that Nick Sirianni? That is the question of the day, man. What is going on with the Philadelphia Eagles? You know, I came into this podcast with the hopes that I would not be bashing a team, that I would try to stay neutral, that I would try to keep it a easy listen. I'm not going to go on these like fan rants. But man, let me tell you, I was at the Commanders-Niners game. I was working, air quotes working, and it never dawned on me that there was a possibility that the Cardinals could beat the Eagles. I know we say any given Sunday, but, you know, that was next week. That wasn't last week, you know. And so I'm sitting at the Commanders locker room thinking to myself, one, I don't want to interview any of these players. And I'm not trying to be mean, but they're not playing for anything. And you could tell, like, the mood in there was just, it was awful. All right. It was like being stuck at Thanksgiving between your soon-to-be divorced aunt and uncle, you know? So I was a little upset about that, but all of a sudden, there was this loud, like, crescendo. It started, like, as a whisper, and then it just kept getting louder, 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 and then you hear, like, this cheer. And I looked at the guy beside me, and I was like, yo, what just happened? And he was like, the Cardinals beat the Eagles. What? That really happened? The Cardinals beat the Eagles. The 11 to 12 point, depending on where you got it at, on the market, underdog Cardinals went into Philadelphia in a must-win situation for the Eagles, who were leading their division, looking at home field in the playoffs, the number two seed, Eagles, and beat them. Didn't just, like just outright beat them. That's unforgivable. Unforgivable. And I've seen AJ Brown's interviews and I've seen like fans saying things. Look, if you're piling on to the Eagles right now, they deserve it. They deserve it. The NFL professional football players, all pro athletes, honestly, if you're at the pinnacle of your professional athletic career on a good team, you owe it to yourself and you owe it to the fan base to see it through. What I've seen from the Eagles is just like an entitled attitude of, well, we deserve this. You should give it to us because we were good last year. Why are you not afraid of us? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's exactly what I would expect from a team that doesn't know how to handle winning, doesn't know how to handle the pressure of being one of the better teams in the NFL. And just like I said, I was critical of them early on in the season, and I'm going to be critical at the end of the season. They're soft, they're lame, and they're just a bunch of entitled, spoiled kids. And Sirianni's going to take the fall for it, but it's really his team. It's this. They have enough veteran presence in that locker room. They shouldn't be acting like this, man. And, you know, A.J. Brown is an emotional guy. I'm not going to jump on him. I think he's just one of those players. He's just that air quote T.O. type player that no matter what, he's going to be intense. Dez Bryant had it in him, too. They could be up 20 points and he drop a pass and it looked like, you know, if you just watch the game and all you saw was Dez Bryant's antics, you'd think they were down 20. He's just a competitor. He's intense. But it gets to a point where somebody, I don't know if it's got to be Fletcher Cox, maybe it's got to be Kelsey, who honestly I think is on his way out. Somebody needs to pull those guys to the side, like literally a team meeting of, look, we're way better than this. The Cardinals are not even trying to win games. I'm pretty sure they came in just looking to be competitive and was like, oh, snap, we could actually win this. And honestly, I don't know why they're winning games. It's really stupid. But anyway, the Eagles now sit at the number 5 seed, and that is our introduction into what could be a very chaotic weekend of NFL action. It all depends. It more than likely will just play out how it plays out, real simple, real easy. But, you know, there is some drama out there, not only in the NFC, but in the AFC as well, and that is where we will start. Don't have a lot of sound bites today. I'm going to just go through this and talk through it. Unfortunately, production-wise, got a little busy. Satellite went out last night. The antenna went out the morning before. Had a couple programming issues, so work got in the way. So you're just going to get a raw podcast today. Can I say that? I guess I can. It's my podcast. So NFL playoff matchups as things stand right now. In the AFC, as they stand right now, the number 7 Indianapolis Colts would take on the number 2 Miami Dolphins. The number 6 Buffalo Bills would take on the number 3 Kansas City Chiefs. The number 5 Cleveland Browns would take on the number 4 Jacksonville Jaguars. And then the number 1 Baltimore Ravens, who just absolutely can't be stopped, will get their wild card bye. Over in the NFC, the number 7 Green Bay Packers would take on the number 2 Dallas Cowboys. The number 6 Los Angeles Rams will take on the number 3 Detroit Lions. The number 5 Eagles will take on the number 4 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then the wild card round bye for number 1 San Francisco 49ers. So as it plays out Sunday, and this will be solely an NFL show. If you're looking for any college football stuff, any lead up to the national championship, I did a separate podcast with Akeem Gibbs from our group. I should have led with that, actually. But I did a separate podcast with Akeem. Feel free to check that out on our site on Spotify in the group. You can follow me on Facebook at the platform Unofficial with IBS Eases. Listen, I got a whole rant on how Facebook is just really stupid and they wouldn't let me change my name. Not going to bug you with that. But anyway, there are avenues for that. I did separate college football because the national championship is a big deal from NFL playoffs. So you don't get a 2-hour long podcast of me talking. So if you want college, go over there. Anyway, back to NFL. Houston Texans 9-7. The matchup is with the Colts on Saturday at 8:15 on ESPN/ABC. And here's what's at stake. Houston can clinch the AFC South title with a win or Jacksonville loss or tie. So they're kind of in the driver's seat for the division. They can clinch a playoff berth with a win, duh, and a tie plus Jacksonville losing plus Pittsburgh losing. I know that's a lot there, and that's how these scenarios usually go. Basically, Texans just need to win. They just need to win. But the issue here is that the Colts also have a potential stake in the AFC South title. Indy can win the AFC South title with a win in their game against the Texans, plus a Jacksonville loss, or Indy ties and Jacksonville loses. I highly doubt we're going to get any ties, especially for people who are playing for the division. Highly doubt that. Also, Shane Steichen doesn't seem like the type of guy that would allow a tie. I feel like he would go for 2 rather than tie just to try to win it. So I'm not even worried about that scenario. Indy can clinch the playoffs by just winning or tying and Pittsburgh losing or tying. So a little bit of a three-way match there between the 9-7s. But essentially, the winner of the Texans-Colts game puts themselves in a good position to win the division. The Texans win it outright. If they beat the Colts, they win the division. It's very simple for them. The Colts need a little bit of help, even if they win. So I don't know. It kind of plays a little funny there for the Indianapolis Colts. But at the end of the day, the goal, and I say this on pretty much every NFL podcast I do, the goal is to get into the playoffs. If you can win the division, that's great because you want home field, especially if you're a team like the Cowboys and you don't play well on the road. You want home field. And I'm not going to sit here and tell people, like, it doesn't really matter. No, home field matters for some people. I don't think it matters as much for the Ravens and the Niners as it would for clearly the Eagles, who obviously just lost at home, but the Eagles and the Cowboys, or maybe even the Chiefs, you know, the Bills. Home field will matter for them. You don't want to be going to Miami if you're Buffalo in the playoffs, or anybody for that matter, doesn't want to go to Miami, you want Miami to come to you. If you're Buffalo, Kansas City, and all these other teams that it's going to be pretty cold at, it's just advantageous. But I digress. These scenarios, just got to win. Typically, that is the one thing you have to take care of first. You need to win your game and then let the things play out how they play out. And, you know, during the press conference for the Niners, I thought Fred Warner, and I didn't get this clip because I was doing some work stuff while he was talking, but Fred Warner made a great point when they asked him about, like, you know, were you excited? Were you looking forward to the Eagles game, like, to check the score? And he's like, no, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We need to win the games in front of us. And then if it just so happens that a team loses or something like that, we can celebrate that. But I'm not going into a game thinking about somebody else. I'm thinking about me. And I think that's a great mentality to have. All right. So Steelers somehow have a lane to get in. And the Steelers, this is where it gets complicated. So I will try to be as, like, slow reading as possible. Pittsburgh wins. They'll get in the playoffs with a win plus a Buffalo loss, or a win plus a Jacksonville loss or tie, or a win plus Houston-Indianapolis tie. Pittsburgh can tie plus Jacksonville lose plus Houston and Indianapolis doesn't end in a tie, and they'll get in. And then the last scenario is Pittsburgh can get in if Jacksonville loses, plus Denver wins, plus Houston and Indianapolis doesn't end in a tie. That is a lot. That is a lot, man. And you know what? You look back on this season, and I tried not to do this because I didn't want it to be like a long recap, but you look back on this season for some of these teams, and you just have to be like, man, like, how do we, if you're the Steelers, how do we lose to the Patriots, man, at home? And why are the Cardinals so good when they come to Pennsylvania? Because they beat Pittsburgh, too. What? They put themselves in a bind, you know? They're at the mercy of pretty much the AFC South and the Denver Broncos. God, can Denver – I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to go there. We'll leave Denver alone. But at the end of the day, Pittsburgh needs to win against Baltimore, which I don't think is going to be easy. Everybody's like, well, Lamar Jackson's not playing and this person's not playing. This is a team that plays hard during the preseason, man. They be down to their practice squad players. Already told the practice squad guy, you're on the roster. It doesn't matter. There's something in the water in Baltimore where they play football like this is their last day to play football. Like, they have to win this game. Have to win this game. And that's dating back to preseason, man. I think next year I'm going to try to go to their training camp or one of their training camps. I want to really see how they practice, because they're the only team that I know that comes in with that kind of mentality. And it's not we want to win because we think it matters. We want to win because we're professionals and this is what you should do. You should compete to win. And I love it. I'm not a big fan of Harbaugh because, well, he owns us. But I love that mentality, man. And so with Huntley starting, I really don't think there's that much of a drop-off, or there will be that much of a drop-off. If anything, the only thing that would concern me with Baltimore is probably the depth in which, because, you know, usually they're kind of banged up around this time of year anyway. The depth overall would worry me a little bit, but they're not going to lay down for the Steelers. Regardless of who plays, they're not going to lay down. And I think I saw the line was at like 4 or something like that. You got Mason Rudolph, division game, on the road, a team that probably has more tape on him than you know, say, who the Seahawks that they played last week. Not trying to turn this into a gambling podcast. I'm just saying, don't be afraid of it. All right, then we get to the Dolphins. Dolphins 11-5 versus the Bills. This truly is the game of the week this week. I mean, you got to look at this like winner take all. Like, Buffalo, they need to win the division. They really do. And one thing that's not being talked about is how healthy will they be in the playoffs if they do get the 2 seed and they do get that that home field and like, how healthy will they be? Like, I'm And I keep saying like, because lost my train of thought there for a second. But honestly, I think that's something that needs to be brought, because they've been banged up and they had some key injuries, I think, around like late October, early November. And, you know, sometimes those guys do come back. If they get half of what they lost back, considering how they've now figured out ways to win without using Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs every single down, they could be dangerous. And I will give everybody this disclaimer. I say it all the time to the folks who actually talk to me and listen. Teams that get hot around the turn of basically after Black Friday, the teams that get hot after Black Friday are the teams that are your biggest threat to win the Super Bowl. And it's not always the one seed. Sometimes the one seed just kind of coast into the playoffs. But the Ravens have been whipping people, so I would consider them a hot team. The Niners, they're lukewarm to warm. I wouldn't call them hot, and that's just because the Ravens, the way they drag them. But the Bills, I consider the Bills a hot team for the simple fact that they are finding ways to win even when it's ugly, and they're finding different ways to win outside of their norm. And that makes them dangerous to me. And they've got a playmaker. Josh Allen is a playmaker. It's not saying he's an elite quarterback or anything like that. It's just saying that if you need 5 to 6 yards, you got a guy that's capable of doing that on a consistent basis. And you have established a run game now, and you're not establishing that run game through your quarterback. I'm just saying, makes them dangerous. Anyway. Bills, Dolphins, this is for everything. Sunday night, 8:20 on NBC. Buffalo will clinch the AFC East title if they win. Miami will clinch the AFC East title with the win or tie. Buffalo can clinch a playoff berth with a tie, a Pittsburgh loss, a Jacksonville loss, or a Houston-Indianapolis tie. So I'm pretty sure between Pittsburgh and Jacksonville, one of those two teams are going to lose. I know the Jag fans, or the one Jag fan I know. Actually, I know two. But the one that would probably listen to this podcast is going to call me out on it. But Jacksonville, there's some goofy dudes down there, man. They've got a matchup against Tennessee Sunday at 1 on CBS. Jacksonville clinches the AFC title with a win or a tie plus an Indianapolis and Houston tie. They can clinch a playoff berth with a tie plus a Pittsburgh loss, or Pittsburgh loses plus Denver loses, and a tie between Houston and Indianapolis, or a game that doesn't end in a tie. I don't even know why they wrote it like that. But Jacksonville, they just need to win. And sadly, it's embarrassing that they're 9-7. I still say that they played Sunshine too much. If the guy had a high ankle sprain, if you have a high ankle sprain, you're not healthy enough to really play in a week. They brought him back in a week. He ends up getting a concussion. Now, I would go out on a limb and say he got a concussion because, well, he can't move around like he normally does. And he took unnecessary hits, or hits that he probably wouldn't have taken if he was more mobile. That's just common sense to me. You rushed him back and you lost 3 in a row. Now, if I'm the Jaguars, and I know I got a little bit of leeway here, I can't lose 3, but I can afford to lose 1 or 2 here or there. Health is wealth. I'm going to make sure my guy is healthy. I don't know if anybody remembers, maybe it was like 2 years ago when Patty kind of got hurt and everybody freaked out. And they start Chad Henne or somebody like that. I can't remember who their backup quarterback was. But they went into a couple games with the backup quarterback. They did not rush Patty back, and they ended up in the Super Bowl that year, and they ended up with the one seed because he's never had a away playoff game. But that little nuance there, just knowing when to dial it back, protect the player against himself, and do what's in the best interest of the team rather than that short-sighted mentality of win now, is what helped the Chiefs in that situation. And I'm just disappointed in the Jags, man. They should have at least 10-11 wins right now. And I know some people will be like, well, that's just one game difference. That's the division. They should not be 9-7 with the Texans and Colts. 9-7 for the Texans and Colts is well above what we expected. 9-7 for the Jags is well below what we expected, I think. I don't think anybody looked at that division at the beginning of the season and said, The Jags, the winner of this division is going to have 9. No way. So, yeah, Jacksonville kind of fumbled the bag here. I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans beat them. I would not. Like, it just seems like the type of game that Jacksonville would find a way to lose. And, you know, we're not too far removed from that year that they went into Indianapolis and lost, and they needed to win that to get into the playoffs. So, or I think it might have been the other way around. I can't remember. It's early. Y'all bear with me. Getting to the NFC. NFC is pretty simple. Dallas wins, they win the division. That's it. That's all we need to talk about. They're playing the Commanders. They need to win. They should win. They've got some crazy road splits that I talked about on air yesterday. And honestly, this is the game that I think I'll be there personally. And hopefully I can get into the Cowboys locker room after they win and get some good material for people, get some sound bites, some clips or something. But this is the type of game where you really do need to come out and make a statement if you're Dallas. And not that the statement is, oh, we can beat up on bad teams, but the statement is that we're a team that's not going to beat ourselves heading into the playoffs. Finally. That's what needs to be said, or that's what needs to be shown from this Cowboys team. But we'll see. We'll see. Tampa Bay, now, the NFC South. What is it with the South? AFC South, NFC South, just bad divisions. But the NFC South, I'll try to make sense of this. The Bucs and Saints are 8-8. The Falcons are 7-9. So Atlanta needs to win and Tampa needs to lose for them to get in the playoffs. I mean, I'm looking at the division here. If Tampa wins, they can win the NFC South. New Orleans, if they win and Tampa loses, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. Cool. It was looking really complicated there for a second. So the Saints need to win and the Bucs need to lose for the Saints to clinch. The Bucs just need to win and they're playing the Panthers. And then the Falcons are on the outside looking in. So assuming they win and go 8-9, they will clinch the NFC South title with a win plus a Tampa loss. Okay. So they'll need the Saints to lose because obviously if the Saints go 9-8, then they're not going to get there. But they hold the tiebreaker between the Saints, so that's good. But they need the Bucs to lose, and I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know what the Panthers are going to do. I don't think the Panthers know what they're going to do. And their owner just got in trouble for throwing that drink on a Jaguars fan. Like, how goofy was that, man? How goofy was that? You're a billionaire. If I'm a billionaire, I don't care what these fans think. I thought that's how all owners were. They didn't care what we thought. Imagine if Dan Snyder had his window open or something. Jeez. Like, well, this is the new Dan Snyder, so there's that. Eagles, 11-5 against the Giants, need to win and have Dallas lose. That's it. And it's all your fault. Just double back and listen to the beginning of my show today. You suck. All right. Seahawks to get into the playoffs because the division's already locked for the NFC West. Seattle needs to win, plus Green Bay needs to lose or tie. Seattle needs to tie and then have Green Bay and Tampa lose. Seattle needs to tie, have Green Bay lose, and New Orleans lose. So Seattle's not really in the driver's seat unless Green Bay loses. That seems to be the common denominator. Seattle is at Arizona. Who knows, man? These Cardinals are feisty. They want to win games. I don't know why. Packers are taking on the Bears. Packers get in the playoffs if they win. And let me say, if the Packers get into the playoffs, that's a great season for them. I didn't expect them to be there. They don't have any money invested in that offense. I pointed this out in preseason build-up, and I'll remind everybody again. When you look at the amount of money spent on offenses this year, the Green Bay Packers are at the bottom of the league. They have no money invested in that offense, and they have somehow won 8 games. That's impressive. That's a good coaching job by Matt LaFleur. And the defense has been mid at best, and they just keep getting these every other game, good game, Jordan Love. So he's got to have 2 games in a row where he's good. I don't think he's done that since right before Thanksgiving. So they'll definitely need that because Chicago is tough. Chicago's tough. Thankfully, they're in Lambeau, so that will help a little bit. But I worry about Justin Fields having a Justin Fields type game. And I'm saying Justin Fields type game as in, yo, is he really good? He might be good. So he does that at the end of the season. So Green Bay gets in, like I said, with the win, with a tie plus a Seattle loss or tie, and then plus a New Orleans loss or tie. Essentially, they need help if they lose. They're fine as long as they win. The Vikings, another team that I'm like, wow, they're still in it, technically. They're not officially eliminated. So Minnesota needs to beat Detroit, plus have Green Bay lose, plus have Seattle lose, plus have Tampa lose. Or they need to win, have Green Bay lose, Seattle lose, and New Orleans lose. So they need a little bit of help. But it's not far-fetched. They will be starting Tricky Nicky, which I think is funny because they should have played him last week. I don't understand that. And again, I'm not going to waste you guys' time on my coaching rants. I can do that anytime. I wanted to keep this show roughly under 30 minutes. So we've got about three minutes left before I had to close it out here. So one of the things we need to be well aware of is that at the end of the day, if your team's not in the playoffs at this point in the season, it's typically your team's fault. Somewhere along the line, the team faltered, or somewhere along the line, like dumb personnel changes were done, occasional injuries. But there are a handful of teams, and I said I wasn't going to rant, but I'm going on it now. But there are a handful of teams like the Vikings that you got to look back and it's all your fault. And I look at the Cleveland Browns, and I look around at the Jets, the Vikings, and all these other teams who didn't truly attempt to invest in a solid backup quarterback. And I ask myself, why? Especially when you have talent. The Vikings have Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson was hurt a little bit this year, but he was coming back. You've got two solid options, and not even to mention Hockenson, who unfortunately got hurt because he was overused. But you got talent, and you didn't even try. You didn't even try. Like Nick Mullins, Jaren Hall, I think his name's Jaren Hall. Like you can't sit at practice and see those guys play and think you can win football games with them. That's ridiculous. So shout out to the Browns for being like, you know what? I'm going to give Flacco a shot because he's better than P.J. Walker. He looks better than DTR. He gives us a chance to win. Not this, hey, you know, let's roll out Zach Wilson again for the 100th time. I think on the 101st try, it'll be different. Things will be different this time. He got to shake Aaron Rodgers' hand, so he's going to be able to play quarterback now. Aaron Rodgers is mentoring him on all things whatever Aaron Rodgers is into, but like seriously, I don't even know if I would consider Aaron Rodgers a good teacher. Although there are some elements of his play in Jordan Love, I don't think I would give him any credit for Jordan Love. He just doesn't seem like the type of guy that really would be a good mentor. However, the Jets did that, and that's a team that really upsets me because with that defense, you can't waste a good defense. The window of an elite defense closes so quickly, man, because the league is skewed to make it easier to score. So if you find a niche, the Legion of Boom, the Ravens defense this year, hell, the first six games of the Niners, the entire season for the Browns. Like if you can find a niche with a defense like that to play at an elite level and they're young, you cannot waste that by showing loyalty to a quarterback who's pretty much only here for the clicks. So there you go. That is my rant for the end of the day. Thank you guys for listening. Like, share, subscribe at me. Tell me that you hate it. Tell me that you love it. Next week will be on Tuesday. It'll be right after the national championship. I will be back to recap that game. Give my thoughts on that. And then a look ahead to the clear playoff schedule, as well as dabbling in college basketball and the mess that is the NBA right now. Shout out to those Lakers. All right, you guys have a great weekend. I will catch you next week.